Today is the second Sunday after the Epiphany. Scripture lessons are from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 11, and the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 29 through the first part of verse 42. Today's message is titled, Finding Will Change Your Life. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Here ends the first lesson, Psalm 40. For the director of music of David, a psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, there'd be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you're pierced. Burnt offering and sin offerings you did not require. And then I said, here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll, I desire to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips as you know, O Lord. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me. Here ends the psalm. The Holy Gospel according to John, the first chapter, beginning at verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon, and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, it is to your glory and worship that you should be praised and that I should pray to you. Therefore, dearest Lord, do not look on my unworthiness, but on my need for your help. For you are the only help for all sinners. Therefore, to your glory, I call to you. I will not refuse your help, and you can and will give it to those who pray. Amen. Amen. A prayer of Martin Luther. If you didn't know it already, my older brother and I were car guys. Some may use the term gearheads and so on. And with the help of our dad when we were in high school, we would work on cars. So much so, our neighbor thought we were running an auto repair shop out of our garage. We weren't. We were fixing up our cars to enjoy. At one time in our driveway were two 1970 Opel GTs, a 65 Ford Mustang. They were my older brother's. I had two 71 Triumph Spitfires. And of course, there was the 15-passenger van, the Cadillac sedan DeVille. I don't know if we had the other car there, but we had the Pontiac T1000 at that time. So our driveway was just filled with things. Mom and Dad drove those, and we worked on these. Now, we had the double Opel GTs and the double Spitfires, for it's cheaper to buy, at that time, a second car to get the parts you needed than trying to buy the individual parts for repairing. So basically, we took two cars to make a good one. With help from my dad, we learned to weld with oxyacetylene. We replaced it rusted sections, not with Bondo, but with sheet steel. And we learned the bodywork, the prepping, the priming, all of that in our backyard. It was a lot of work, a lot of wet sanding to get it looking great. The color coat was my dad's job. Because the color coat paint, it was incredibly expensive, even then. Through the years, my brother and I, we still enjoy talking sports cars. My brother working at GM Proving Grounds in the brake and traction control development, he had the opportunity to drive many things. He once said this, it's honest truth, he once said this, "You know you're having a good day when by lunchtime you have tire shreds in your ears." That's when they're tearing up tires on C5 Corvettes, developing traction control. He even was sent to most sports in Canada to learn to drive high speed on their track in C5 Corvettes to get that high speed license so he could drive on the Proving Grounds high speed. I mean, you had to be able to do panic stops on the Lotus Esprit turbos from over 140 miles an hour. The ABS had to work. Now, that time, I was also in college. I was collecting posters of Lamborghini Countaches. How many of you did that? With the Alpine radio, Lamborghini Countach. I still have them. They're mounted, they're stored away in the basement. One night in college, while I was standing in the corner of 15th and High there in Ohio State, I heard the most amazing sound. I turned around and there was a Lamborghini Countach. I mean, I was just floored. I mean, there's nothing like the sound of a V12 engine. I mean, I told my older brother about it. Hey, guess what I saw? Last year, when Marissa and I went to the Lego store in Easton in Columbus, as we were pulling in the parking lot, I spotted this fabulously blue metallic car. And I said, that's something special. We didn't park anywhere near it, because you don't do that. to those nice cars, but we walked over, took several pictures. I go, that's over a $300,000 car sitting right there. Took pictures. Of course, I sent them to my brother saying, look what I saw, a McLaren 720 supercar. Well, on this past Christmas Day, my brother, my older brother, trumped all of this in a big fashion. He was on a recent trip to Croatia. He's still in a company that does brake development and supply, and he's at the Rimac Car Company in Croatia. And he was there sitting in the passenger seat of a Rimac Nevera with their test driver in the driver's seat. You probably haven't heard of a Rimac Nevera, but it's a $2 million car, 2,000 horsepower. It's an electric hypercar. It will go from 0 to 60 in less than 1.8 seconds. And the thing is, being electric motors, that kind of pull is available at any speed. Gas motors have a torque curve. They have a horsepower curve. Electric motors, they are all torque. No, it doesn't matter the RPMs. So it addled his brain. Seriously, it addled his brain. It accelerated so fast. Even 4 days later from the pulling of the acceleration, the effects lingered on in his addled brain. Well, I actually knew my older brother had an addled brain, but this just proves it. But I mean, sports cars, classic cars, unique cars, they catch our attention, and we call and we tell each other about them. But none of this compares. None of this matters. It cannot even come close to what it means to a Jewish person saying, we have found the Messiah. Even searching years after years for those elusive Spanish galleons, with those treasures that went down. I mean, in 2015, a Spanish galleon was found that the British had sunk in 1708, and that brought up billions of gold. And then recently, near that, they found a couple more now Spanish galleons. And they're thinking there's several more. So there's this thing of there's more billions of gold and silver and artifacts in the depths of the sea. But still, that does not compare to when a Jewish man says to his brother, we have found the Messiah. Or in Hebrew, Mashiach. The Hebrew Messiah, the Hebrew word is Mashiach. Mashiach. Mashiach literally means the anointed one. The Greek word Christ means the anointed one. Mashiach. Often we say Messiah, Christ. It means the anointed one. Mashiach is deeply rooted from the earliest times of Judaism. For a Jewish man to say to his brother, we have found the Messiah, it is truly profound. For us in these days, there really is no comparison. There is no manner to compare what it means for a brother to say to his brother, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Mashiach. What we learn from John chapter 1 is that Andrew seems to be a follower of John the Baptizer. John chapter 1 verse 35. The next day John was there again with two of his disciples. Jumping down to verse 40 in chapter 1, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So Andrew was one of these disciples of John the Baptizer. And it's not surprising that John the Baptizer has a group of disciples following him, listening and learning from him. John was sent of God to prepare the way, to be that voice of one crying in the wilderness. Seems part of the preparing was to be there in addition to baptizing Jesus, but also to be there to point to Jesus saying, look, the Lamb of God. In such a manner that two of his disciples, John the Baptizer's disciples, they would get up and leave and go follow Jesus. John chapter 1 verse 36. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Look, see the McLaren 720S. I mean, that captures my attention for a short bit. But that word look just does not convey the meaning of the Greek there. It's weak in translating because it means more than to look. It's a demonstrative participle used to draw attention to what follows immediately. Look, the Lamb of God, it's not strong enough. Behold! is much better. Behold the Lamb of God. From the 1995 New American Standard Bible, John 1, verse 36, and he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, "Behold the Lamb of God." In the Greek, as it's written in the Greek, there is an exclamation point intended there. Behold the Lamb of God. But it's also not capable of capturing in the English translation what John has done here, John the Apostle John writing the Gospel, John has done here because he switched the way he was writing his words. He switched into historical present tense. You see it in the Greek. You can't quite bring that into English. English is then translated as past tense. But in the Greek, it's historical present. Quoting the explanation of the use of historical present, this is what it means. But Greek authors frequently use the present tense for the sake of heightened vividness, thereby transporting their readers in imagination to the actual scene at the time of the occurrence. So the Gospel of John, being written by John the Apostle, switches. So as John the Baptizer says, look, he now is drawing you right to be there. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I mean, it's transporting you to be right there. This behold in the Greek, the root word means be aware, behold, consider, perceive. And the way it is used is seeing that becomes knowing. Seeing becomes knowing. And so we see with our physical eyes, and it naturally bridges from the physical sight to grasp the spiritual truth, which is the true reality before you. So that's what this really means. Behold! Really see so you know and grasp the spiritual reality right before you. The physical seeing, it takes you from seeing to comprehension to what you're truly seeing. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See this Jesus. See Him as He truly is, the Lamb of God, whose sacrifice will take away the sin of the world. The same man, John the Baptizer, who a few days previously was baptized, Jesus, the same man previously baptized just a few days before by John the Baptizer, by John with heaven opening up and the Spirit descending in the form of a dove and the voice speaking, "This is the Son of me, the Beloved, in whom I'm well pleased." That's the English from the Greek word order. So really try to get this picture now. This man that's now walking in front of John and his disciples, just a few days previously, was in the water with John the Baptizer. The water poured over his head, and the heavens open up, the dove comes down, the voice speaks, "This is my Beloved Son." This John, the baptizer, is now saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." John the baptizer is making this connection that the Son of God is also the Lamb of God. And the image of sacrifice of an innocent is there. The image of the sacrifice of the innocent is there. Son of God is the Lamb of God. John chapter 1, verse 29, starting there. "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel.'" Jumping down now to verse 34 of chapter 1. "I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." This is John the Baptizer's testimony. "I have seen with my own eyes, and I tell you plainly, the man I saw the Spirit descend, this Jesus is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. This is the Son of God." Andrew was there. from verse 35, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. The again sets John and his disciples at the same place again. That's what again means. From that same vantage point, John sees Jesus saying, "Behold the Lamb of God." Such a captivating thing to hear. Again, Andrew and another disciple of John, they get up and they follow Jesus. John chapter 1, starting at verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" He said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Jesus saw them following. The Greek word order is this: having turned then Jesus and having beheld them following. The Greek gives a deeper sense of the encounter. Jesus turns, and before speaking to the two following him, Jesus takes a good long look at them. Having beheld, Jesus gazes at them intently to interpret and grasp the significance, concentrating so as to significantly impact the viewer. In other words, Jesus took a good hard look at them, and I would add a good hard look into them, penetrating deeply into the two disciples of John. And after such a good, hard, penetrating look at them, Jesus says, "What do you want?" Seems that Andrew and this unnamed and unknown other person had a spiritual hunger. While at college at The Ohio State University, there were many nice days in the fall and in the spring. Preachers and different evangelists would come to the Oval and start speaking, and usually crowds would gather and listen. Some gathered for the spectacle, some gathered to mock, others gathered because they really wanted to hear what they were saying. All kinds of gathering, and for me, I had that hunger to hear and wanted to know more. I wanted to hear what they were saying, wondering if my Lutheran catechism stood strong in me through the years, comparing, but I wanted to know more. Andrew had left the nets for a while, it seems, to be John's disciple. And now this Andrew is following Jesus at the words of John, "Behold the Lamb of God." It seems Andrew's hunger to know more. He really wanted to find so deeply that he would get up and follow. And Jesus, after looking deeply, said from the Greek, "What seek you? What seek you?" You notice that's very different than what the English, "What do you want?" The Greek actually is, "What seek you? What seek you?" The word "seek," that is to inquire, to investigate, to reach a binding terminal resolution. In other words, it's getting to the bottom of the matter. And that's all from the Helps Word Study. So it's more than curiosity. More than curiosity took Andrew and this other disciple from John the baptizer to follow Jesus. It really pointing to a deep longing to find out for themselves. John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." A longing to find for himself. "Rabbi, where are you staying?" This is more than seeing the place Jesus hangs out. It really means more along the line they want to go along with Jesus, to be with Jesus, to stay with Jesus, to even become his disciples. "Where are you staying?" It's more akin, can we come along and be with you? Can we come with you? To which Jesus answers with that gracious invitation, "Come and see." Not to focus on the place, but on the who. They were going not to see the place he was staying, they were going to be with him. They're going to be with Jesus, to listen to him and learn from him. Questioning of changing their allegiance of discipleship from John the baptizer to Jesus. And from John the baptizer to Jesus is exactly what John the baptizer desired. A little while later, when others came to John the Baptizer to say Jesus was gaining more disciples than John, this is how John the Baptizer replied. It's written in John chapter 3, beginning at verse 29. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who tends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He must become greater, and I must become less. Andrew, this other disciple, go be with Jesus. For that's why John the Baptizer came, was to point to Jesus. Andrew and the others spent time with Jesus, hearing and seeing for themselves. And in response, the first thing Andrew does is go and find his brother. Tells his brother. The first thing he does is tells his brother. John chapter 1, beginning of verse 41. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ, "and brought him to Jesus." Simon, we have found the Messiah. Found. Find, learn, discover. And it really means in the Greek, especially after searching. That's what the Greek word means there. Especially after searching, you have found it. You have found it. Andrew, after this searching, and in those moments with Jesus, it had so grabbed hold of Andrew that he was changed. And he was changed such that he had to go get his brother Simon. Simon, I want you to have the same thing I had. Simon, come with me. We have found the Messiah, the Mashiach. Simon, I want you to have what I have. Come with me. We found the Mashiach. So that in Simon would happen the same thing that's happened in Andrew. People spend their whole life searching for one thing or another. Searching for things to satisfy that deep hunger inside themselves. Always searching for that next thing, that something new to satisfy the anxiousness in their souls. The latest fad, latest trend, latest must-have. And those of us who have longer and longer memories, you can probably think through the generations and years, all the different things that have come and gone that people must have. Search after. And sometimes they turn to the darker side of things and drugs and violence and drinking. And did you notice mostly it's people looking for physical things of life. It's either another person to satisfy them or something to satisfy them. And that searching, it seems to be so elusive. They just can't find it, and maybe that's you. You just can't find it. Are you searching in the wrong places? Well, they're searching in the wrong places. They keep searching, and they think they find what they were seeking for, and oftentimes too late find out what they found was not what they had hoped for. And that pattern of self-destruction deepens, and that emptiness increases. It's there to see. It's there to see. You can see it through the news headlines. Fame, fortune, wealth, notoriety, all these things. And they are empty, hollow shells of a person. Because they're seeking and searching and trying to find in places that will never, never answer what they truly hunger for. And so the cycle repeats, that emptiness and that lostness, it still constantly remains. Cycle repeats, and it will keep repeating. And the evidence is there. Unless you are seeking Jesus, anything else and everything else will not do. Will not do. Finding Jesus will change your life. As only Jesus can do. Break the chains, set you free, forgive your sins, and give you life in His name. From Psalm 40 this morning, He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Forgiveness from the slimy pit and placing you on that solid ground, that rock, place to stand in Christ. The Lord will give you a new heart also. Ezekiel chapter 36, the first part of verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. And then from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Lord God will make you His own. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful. Searching and going after anything of this world, you'll always be empty, lost, and always craving something more, something else, something different. It's not until you find Jesus, will you get a new heart, you lift it out of the mire, forgiveness of sins. It's in Jesus. We saw it in Andrew. We have found the Messiah. And the first thing he does is gets his brother. Behold, Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He does this on the cross. He died on the cross for you. And this Jesus is saying to you and to all, come and see. Meaning, come be with me. Come be with me. And as Andrew, you will find and you will be forever changed. Come be with Jesus. Finding Jesus, that will forever change your life. Finding Jesus, and you will be forgiven, and you will be set free. The old you will be gone, and the new you is there because you have a new heart. The Spirit, a new Spirit in you, which is the Spirit of Christ. You have a new song, and you'll be praising God. Isn't that what you want in your life? Isn't that what you want in your brother's life? Or your sister's life, or your acquaintance, everybody's life. That's what it is about, everybody's life. And how? It's just open yourself up to Jesus. Let Him take you and mold you, for your life is now His life in you. And you are born again. This is just amazing that it can happen to you, happen to me, happen to anybody. Come and see. We have found the Messiah, the Mashiach, the Son of God, and new life is ours. Finding Jesus will change your life. In fact, it'll give you a whole new life, a new heart, a new spirit, a new song for you to go and proclaim the praises of God. The praises of God. So rejoice and walk with Jesus. He says, come and see, meaning, come be with me. Find Him. It will change your life forever. Amen and amen.